We welcome you in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm Suzanne Holtman, one of the ministers here. We're so glad to see each one of you tonight and so grateful to see some of you we haven't seen in a few weeks and welcome you back and just are so grateful for your presence, everyone here. It makes a difference when you show up. It makes a difference in what God is doing in the world. So I wanted to show you last week I preached about the planting of the seeds, and we honestly did not plan for this to happen. But as you can see, even here in the they weren't in the direct sunlight. There are sprouts sprouting up from the seeds on the rocks, right? The rocky ground. And the scripture says, you know, that they grow, but then what? The sun beats down, then scorches them, and they don't have roots deep enough, and the soil is not good enough, right, for them to hold. But then look at these, and I really see this as a miracle. Look, this is in 1 week's time. For those of you who weren't here last week, we preached on the sower. I preached on the sower, and the scripture is the parable of the sower in that, you know, that the soil, the soul of our hearts has to be nurtured and cultivated by the Holy Spirit to grow. And if it is nurtured and cultivated through prayer and scripture and the Holy Spirit grows it, God does miraculous things. And this is in 1 week, in basically often in the dark here in the sanctuary. So, amen. Is that not God showing us his goodness? And if you look closely, you can see little dewdrops of water that have come up through the soil. It's just a miracle. It's always a miracle when a seed grows when we plant it, isn't it? It's just kind of an amazing thing. So I'm grateful for that tonight. A couple of notes of community, just things that I wanted to make you aware of. We're praying tonight for the Naylors and for their daughter, Rachel, who is due to have a baby any day. And it will be they will be new grandparents. So we're excited for them, and we're praying for Rachel and for Christian. We're also praying for Anne in our midst, is our part of our community, who had a car accident. And we want to be praying for her as she is recovering and also for all that involved and impacted her. And then we just want to also lift up this time of Thanksgiving and remember that every good gift is from God, every single good thing. So whenever we experience any good at all, in the smallest of ways, in the largest of ways, we give thanks to God and know of God's amazing goodness. I'm just going to drop this right here. And finally, I want to say that this Thanksgiving season, I am grateful for you. I am grateful for the Wellspring service, for the ways that this service is powerfully present in the life of this congregation. And that is because you all show up here week after week, and the scripture says where two or more are gathered, that the Lord is present. So he's here with us every week as we gather to worship. And I want to thank Justin and Nellie, our awesome, Justin's our band, our worship leader, but also Nellie, we get really lucky with her as a part of the package. So, and the kids. So we are grateful for you and grateful for God's presence in our midst. So I just wanted to say that. I'm going to go ahead and read our scripture for tonight, our gospel lesson. And if you sit back and just listen as these words fall on your hearts, listen for what God may be saying to you tonight in these words. And we're studying the parables. So this is the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When it was about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, why are you standing here idle all day? They said to him, because no one has hired us. And he said to them, you also go into the vineyard. When the evening came, the owner of the vineyard came to the manager and said, call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first. When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now, when the first came, they thought they would certainly receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, these last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day in the scorching heat. But he replied to one of them, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give this last the same as I gave to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. These are the words of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads together. Holy God, we know and trust that you are the source of all that is good. Forgive us, please, when we seek and think that somehow we have created the goodness that we deserve. Remind us that all is gift from you. Fill these words, O God, as I speak with the teacher of all teachers, the Holy Spirit, that I may speak what you want spoken to your people. And anything that is not of you, may it blow away with the wind. We thank you for the miracle of your gospel that always grows where it is sown through your grace. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and glorifying to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So I love the parables. I always loved the parables growing up. They are sort of mysterious, and you can read them and always hear a different layer or level of meaning in them. And this one is no different. On face value, it sounds like it is a story about a generous but basically a very unfair landowner. Unfair because he called in people to work in his vineyard, his big plot of land, and invited them in, and they came. The ones who came early, the early birds who get the worm, they were there, and they were laboring mightily in the field. And then they had agreed upon a daily wage for their work. Then he went back out and saw at noon and at 3 o'clock and at 5 o'clock others, 9 a.m., 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and 5 o'clock, others who were waiting, who had not been hired for the day. And so he invited them each to come and promised them that they would be paid what was right. And so on face value, it is about a landowner, a vineyard owner, who is generous but not at all fair, not following the rules of what might seem right according to our human understanding. And we can identify, I think, or at least I can, with those who got there early, who set their alarm clocks, if they had them, they didn't, but some kind of alarm clock in that day, set their alarm clocks, got there early to work, were ready to work, and worked hard all day long, sweating. And so they saw these other workers come in, and they knew that this landowner was a fine man of integrity and faithfulness. So they knew, of course, that he would be fair. And they didn't worry because they saw these other people show up late and they thought, oh, that's fine because I will definitely get more pay than them since I've been here all day long and I have carried the burden of the day's labor. And so at the end, we hear about how they were each given their pay and the shocking reality that as the laborers listened, those who had been there all day, they heard the ones who had been working for 1 hour, 1 hour, got the same amount as they had been paid, and they were not having it. They were very angry. They felt that they had been slighted. They felt that it was unfair. And so you can imagine, can't you? One of them in the back saying, hey, wait a minute, wait. This is not fair. This isn't fair. We are getting so much. We have been paid so much, but these people who have worked for 1 hour are getting the same amount, and this is not fair. I can identify with that. And then the landowner looks at them with wisdom and grace and says, when did I ever say that I was playing by the rules of fair? I am playing by the rules of grace. I am playing by the rules of grace. He doesn't say that, but that's what he means. And he says, friends, I have done you no wrong. Didn't you agree? Didn't you agree to the wage that I paid you? I followed through with exactly what I said I would do. And then he said these words, am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because, not because you're getting slighted, but are you envious because I am generous? Are you envious because I am generous? So the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. This parable is not about a vineyard owner and laborers who showed up and labored in the fields. But the parable is about the nature of God himself, who, thanks be to God, is not fair. Aren't we grateful that God is not a fair God? Because if God were fair, none of us would be here today. If God were a fair God, this planet would not be in existence. If God were fair, there would be no such thing as salvation, because Jesus would never have come if God played by the rules of what was fair. Oh no, God plays by God's own rules. And we see in the landowner what is the nature of God. It is a nature of grace upon grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. There are times when we are the early birds and we've labored all day long, but there are times when we show up right in the last 5 minutes. Then we don't want it to be fair, do we? We want it to be grace-filled. But when we're the early birds, we want it to be fair. In this passage, Jesus is showing us that the ways of God are not the ways of this world. The kingdom of God is not the kingdom of this world. It is so much more. And there are times when we want it to be this extravagant generosity and grace, but there are times when we have been carrying the labor of the day, when we would rather that it be fair by human standards. And yet, the vineyard owner stands before the laborers and says, I have done you no wrong. I've paid you what I agreed to give you. Can I not do what I choose to with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous? We do not understand the ways of God. There are times when we grasp it and then it slips from us because God's ways are not our ways. God is not fair. Thanks be to God, God is not fair. God was not fair when the people of Israel were free from slavery and captivity in Egypt, and God made a way where there was no way and brought them into the promised land and gave them the Ten Commandments and showed them his covenant of faithfulness. And they decided the minute they started getting fearful to melt their rings and make a golden calf and worship it instead. We do the same thing. I do the same thing. There are times in my life when I am afraid and I forget who God is, and I began to think that I need to figure out something on my own rather than trust the one who is always faithful. And so the Israelites broke their promise, broke their covenant. And so God was not fair. God kept God's promise. And then along came, through the lineage of Abraham, Jesus, his son. God was not fair when he gave us Jesus. And then we refused Jesus, and he died on the cross. And God was not fair when God enabled Jesus to rise again. Salvation is not a fair equation. It is God's generosity and grace pouring out on us again and again and again. One of the things that strikes me about the laborers in the vineyard is that they think that they are being, they think it's a story in the, when they're in the midst of it. It's a story about their labor, right? And the parable sounds like it's a parable about their labor. But it is really a parable about the vineyard owner and the nature of the vineyard owner. And it is also a parable about those laborers saying yes to the invitation. Anyone who says yes is received and blessed abundantly. Anyone who says yes to the invitation at the table, whether you come the first time or whether you come after you've been invited a million times, the meal of salvation is the same. The laborer is always inviting, just like the sower is always sowing. The landowner is always inviting the laborers, just like the sower is always sowing the seeds. The story of the laborers in the vineyard and their response, the laborer's response, reminds me a lot of the story of the prodigal son. Doesn't it sound familiar to you with that story? It sounds similar. How the son who did the right thing stayed and worked so hard on his father's estate and did everything just right. But then the son who was lost came home and was found, and his father threw a party for him and put on his finest ring on the finger of the son who had been lost. And the one who had stayed said, "Father, this is not fair." And the father said to the son, "Haven't I always loved you? Haven't I always given you anything that is mine? But my son who was lost is now found." The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. What does this say to us as people of faith? Does it say that we should just live our lives however we want and come late to our faith and it's all the same? Yeah. In a way, it does. It doesn't say we should, but it says we can. But what we need to understand is that being a part of that vineyard matters. And being a part of that early group who's working on laboring in the field matters. And so while we all receive God's grace, don't we want to get there early to receive it for an even longer period of time? When I was a little girl, I think I had what might be called, novelty aversion. I was always afraid of new things, kind of skittish about them, or at least maybe not afraid, but dubious. I was, discerning. I wasn't sure that I wanted to do new things. And I kind of backed into things in life. That's like a style that I had, especially when I was young. I would decide kind of slowly that I wanted to do something and move into it. And so one day, one summer, I think I was in fourth grade. I went and stayed with my cousin Ashley, who lived in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, outside of Nashville, where my home was. And I went to Ashley's house, and I was excited to spend time with my cousin. We're 2 days apart in age. And her mother came in that Sunday and said, "Girls, it is an exciting week. It is vacation Bible school. And I know, Suzanne, that your dad's a Methodist minister and you go to the Methodist church, but we go to the Christian church and it's almost the same. And so you get to go to vacation Bible school with Ashley tomorrow." And my face fell. I wanted no part of going to a vacation Bible school at a church that I didn't know and I hadn't been to. I wasn't sure what it would be like or what the people would be like. And so I decided I couldn't do that. And my aunt, being very wise, said, "Well, you're welcome to stay home. There's going to be someone here working at the house. And you can just be here all day in the next few days while Ashley goes to vacation Bible school." And I said, "Fine," because I was stubborn. And so I stayed home, and I was bored stiff. I was there for hours. There was no TV. There were certainly no iPads or iPhones or anything like that. There were some books, but I couldn't even find one that I liked. I wasn't really allowed to go outside because nobody could watch me, and they lived near a really busy road. So by the time Ashley got home at 5 o'clock, she had amazing crafts to show me of what she had done. And she had all kinds of stories about what she had learned and the incredible snacks she had had. And I sat there thinking, should I go or should I stay home again? Well, because I am really stubborn, I stayed home the next day because I thought somehow it would be better and somehow her day would be worse. And she got home and the same thing happened again, and she told me wonderful stories. They had had a slip and slide. They had taken swimsuits. It had been amazing. And I had missed out on all the fun. So I decided the next day that I would go. And I had a magnificent time. And so when I got home, I couldn't wait to go back the next day. And my aunt said, oh, I'm sorry. It was only 3 days. I was late to the vineyard. I was late to the vineyard, and I got the good abundance when I was there. But oh, how I wish I had been early. Oh, how I wish I could have been a part of what was already happening in the abundant life that was occurring. Friends, the laborer of the vineyard calls us and says, come. All who are thirsty, come. All who are hungry, come. All who seek to know me, come. All who want to know a way that is so much better than fair, come. Come, and you will never thirst again. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.